SBS Italian.
First of all, Andreas, thanks for your time.
It's good. Thank you. Good to be here.
I just mentioned the book. How many times have you read it back? Would you change something now in hindsight? And now that your son is 18,
17,
yeah, is he going to read that? And what do you think? What would you like him to understand about it?
Well, first of all, I wrote the book through the lens of my children. You know, what do I want? This was the first filter I used in everything that I talked about. And no, I haven't read it because I got great advice after 2.5 years of finalizing it, which is don't open it, don't read it, because the book of your life is never finished. And that advice I have adhered to. It can always be tweaked, it can always be changed, there can always be more. A man's life doesn't fit inside 400 pages. But my hope is that in somebody sharing my journey, they can understand their own journey a little bit better. And you don't have to be a tennis player to do that.
Moringa, thank you, because probably without you, 100 million people wouldn't know him as a writer.
Oh, JR, I'm grateful for him. Without him, I would be less.
Let's talk about tennis. Obviously, you changed the game, according to everyone. But what's going to happen with the game in the future? How do you see the tennis in 20 years' time?
Oh, geez. You know, I don't know if I could ever speculate on that. I mean, if we look historically, we can say that athletes get faster, athletes get bigger, athletes get stronger. But we've also seen number one players in the world, you know, they've gone up a little bit in size, but, you know, I mean, Pete was like 6'1.5", Roger 6'1.5", you know, Novak 6'1.5". You know, you start looking at the special nuance of our sport, and seems like the elite are not necessarily standouts from a size, you know, perspective. But this also slowly changes. You know, the strings change the sport with spin, gave people control the faster they swing, which stopped the rafters of the world from still being here, you know, the Edbergs of the world, you know, so these things you can't predict, but we know the game only gets better. It's the truth in all sports.
Why Grigor?
He's an easy man to like. I mean, you know, he didn't with words tell me that he needed me, although he did, or he wanted my help, but he showed me with his actions. I mean, he followed me to a lot of places to spend time. He valued it and still does. And I'm fully invested in trying to help him.
Speaking of coaching, many people in the last few days said Andy Murray would make a good coach. I would like to your opinion on that, and particularly who do you think of the current top three would make a good coach in the future and why?
Well, I think great coaches, honestly, are overachievers. You know, I think when the game comes too easy for somebody, they don't necessarily have to think, you know. But when you look at a guy like Federer, what makes him different is he has so many, it comes so easy for him, but he has so many ways to play that he's always finding the most efficient way. So that's a high tennis IQ. So he defies that logic. I think somebody that plays more from feel and reaction is probably not the most ideal coach, because you have to problem solve and be proactive.
Oh, it's fun. Then you probably wouldn't make a good coach because you.
No, I feel like when you look at my size, when you look at my physical limitations, when you look at all those things, while I could have won more, I overachieved. I mean, I had to figure out, I had to do a lot of things differently than a lot of guys.
I'm an all-time friend of Thomas Fabiano, and yesterday I was thinking, isn't that ironic that Andre Agassi would even spend half an hour of his life studying you to plan the match against Grigor? Is that what you do? How do you?
The most important thing you can do as a coach is know your player, know his heart, know his mind, know what he needs, but most importantly, what he doesn't need. You know, and so information can be good; it can also be dangerous. Because tennis is a thinking game that is reactionary. So walking the tension between what you're aware of and just letting it happen is a very delicate balancing act. But 100%, there is a very specific way to address everybody in their own way.
Experience with Novak, did it have to do with potentially a narrow comfort zone?
I don't know if I would say that. Listen, I mean, I think we all as tennis players have a narrow comfort zone. I mean, you're out there in front of the world, you're alone, and sometimes you're even naked, you know, and you're exposed. And so you have to respect somebody needing to be incredibly comfortable and reluctant to take chances. You know, I had to learn too. You know, I was a thinker on a court, and he's a feeler on a court. I was clear that I didn't believe he needed me. He was pretty clear that he felt like he did, and I think we both were clear at the end that he really didn't. And it not in a bad way, in a way that it was obvious that he knew what he needed to do, and he just needed to go do it. So I'm not interested in spending my time pretending to help somebody.
Is a better player the overthinker or the underthinker?
Who?
In general, to be a great tennis player.
Well, I don't know how you mean overthinking or underthinking. I think some players manage nerves by underthinking. Some people who overthink can analyze to paralysis, you know? So you always have to have the right balance of both for every single person. And this is about learning more than teaching.
As a global ambassador of Lavazza, you're going to be part of, or probably already are, of a campaign called More Than Italian. Are you even just Italian somehow?
You know, people think I am with my vowel in my last name, but a lot of history in Italy, a lot of love for coffee, a lot of love for Lavazza's commitment to tennis, a lot of love for their commitment to my mission and education. There's a lot of overlap here that makes complete sense for us to be together, and I hope Lavazza stays fully engaged with the sport.
And are you going to go more often to Italy, or is there something about Italy that really appeals you, that attracts you there?
Sharing it with my kids, watching them. You know, if you could pick one, in my country, but it applies to the world, says where should I go if I can only pick one place, one country? It's you almost have to choose Italy. You know, that's how much history there is. That's how much, you know, beauty there is. I don't know if any country delivers that much if you only had to pick one.
Thanks heaps, Andre, for your time.
Thank you.
Trova altre storie nella tua lingua sul sito sbs.com.au/italian.